And then 10:30, here's our deal. We're going to have a time of worship. I'll share in the word, and then we'll close our time with communion. And we want to serve you. Pastor Don and I want to serve you. We'll just come through and bless you. And you're welcome to join us and just spend some time, and we'll be good. We'll have a bite to eat, and we'll be on our way. Fair enough? Amen. If you want to stay, you're welcome to stay. Just let the camp know. That's fair. A pastor's camp is done tomorrow after lunch. So if you're hanging around, just let them know. Otherwise, I don't know what will happen, but it's just probably good to let people know. They have service here at 10:30 Sunday morning. It's always a great time. It's a great place. Praise God. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. I don't want to say goodbye because I want you back tomorrow morning. We're just going to take some time. Amen, amen, amen. When Pastor Billy was here Wednesday night and Thursday morning, I just said to him, I have a counterpart. I have a Billy Richards in the West Indies. I have a Billy Richards in Trinidad. He said, no, there can't be two of me. I said, no, there is. I said, I have a Billy Richards, and when I'm over in Trinidad, I stay in his house. So this is my Billy Richards over here, Pastor Nangu. So he's been very quiet, but he's my crazy friend over in Trinidad. And I'm kind of glad that Billy and Nangu didn't hang out this week. Otherwise, it would have been kind of scary, but it's good. And he's the gentleman and Gene that have put this tour together for our Trinidadian friends to come. And so we just want to say thank you and appreciate that. Praise God. Isaiah, please. The book of Isaiah, chapter 21. I think we have the scripture on PowerPoint. Yeah, I just want to take some time in the Word tonight and talk to you about watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? All right, watchmen, what of the night? So I just want to bring this to your attention and just share these verses with you. This is what the Lord says, and we'll jump down into verse 6, please. This is what the Lord says. All right. Go post a lookout and have him report what he sees. When he sees chariots with teams of horses, riders on donkeys or riders on camels, let them be alert, fully alert. And the lookout shouted, day after day, my Lord, I stand on the watchtower. Every night I stay at my post. Look, here comes a man in a chariot with a team of horses. And he gives back the answer, Babylon has fallen, all the images of its gods lie shattered on the ground. O my people crushed on the threshing floor, I tell you what I have heard from the Lord Almighty and from the God of Israel. Someone calls to me, an oracle concerning Duma. Someone calls to me from Seir, watchman, what is left of the night? Watchman, what is left of the night? The watchman replies, morning is coming, but also night. If you ask, then ask. If you would ask, then ask, and come back yet again. So as far as text tonight, if I may, just take those last couple of verses and just bring them to your attention. Watchman, what is left of the night? Watchman, what is left of the night? The watchman replies, morning is coming, but also the night. If you would ask, then ask, and come back yet again. This portion of scripture, and we'll just develop it. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of being a watchman. I've had that privilege of being a night watchman. One at Eastern Pentecostal Bible College back in the 80s as they were building the new dormitories. And I looked for a job, and so they paid me, I think, $10 an hour from 2 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning. So since I was up anyway, I thought I may as well get money for it. Hallelujah. And so there are no windows, no doors, just this beautiful brick, huge building. And I would walk through there. It was my job to set up chairs in the gymnasium for chapel and do a circle check and then walk through this rather cold, windy, rather airy building as the wind would blow through. And I was the night watchman. Didn't really enjoy it, but hey, $40 for not sleeping, it was worth it. Hallelujah. And so that was my night watchman job. Didn't like it. Also at Lakeshore Pentecostal Camp, you may have heard of it, another camp just down the road. And when we were teenagers, one of the jobs of being at youth camp was to steal the bell off the tabernacle. That was the job. If you couldn't steal it, you were at least to spray paint it fluorescent orange. And so that was the job of being a teenager there. And I was the watchman that night. I was the watchman, not at the camp, but for the guys stealing the bell. just so we understand which side we were on. And so my job was to climb up this rather large tree at the back of the tabernacle and look out for the other night watchmen. And so they had walkie-talkies and bicycles. And so I was so intrigued with the guys scampering up the two-story, you know, one story, then windows, that I didn't see the night watchman come underneath the tree. And so now I had to make a decision. So I chose not to say anything. And there's 20 guys on the roof. But the night watchman was there, and he was talking on his walkie-talkie, and the rest were going to come on bicycles. And finally, this guy on the walkie-talkie yelled, "Hey, stop!" Well, how many understand, "Hey, stop" didn't mean a thing to the guys on the roof. They were scampering off the sides of the roof. They were running. They were rolling off the roof. I mean, this is a big tabernacle, okay? We're talking rather large. And off they went. And so I didn't move. I didn't budge. I just waited till the night watchman left, and I walked back to my tent. I wasn't real popular with the other guys that night, but you know what? I didn't get caught, and there was no punishment. I didn't have to do whatever they did. And so that was my other night watchman job. If I may, there was another camp in the Ottawa Valley, and somehow I was the camp director there. And I had a night watchman who stayed up late at night, and I called him Robo Bob. He would be in the auditorium tonight right over here. So it's Pastor Bob. Pastor's one of our POAC churches today, but back then it was Robo Bob. And Robo Bob was a bit of a machine, and nobody moved around the campus without the campgrounds without Robo Bob on them. And I remember these girls trying to sneak out one night, and in a car, there was three or four of them in a car, and he was chasing after them, and as he got close, he tried to lift the back of the car off the ground. So Robo Bob was chasing the car down the road and trying to get, I don't know what you thought you were going to do. It was a rather large car, and he was going to lift the car off the ground so the tires would be spinning in the air. And I remember this picture watching that going, thinking, this guy's crazier than I am. It didn't work well. I went to bed. He stayed up. They eventually came back, and I think there was a little corporate punishment that night that took place as Mr. Robo Bob, the night watchman, just took charge. So the night watchman. Church, we need some night watchmen here tonight. We need some night watchmen. Some things are going on that shouldn't be going on, and somebody has to climb the wall, and somebody has to pierce the darkness, and somebody has to keep an eye on some stuff that shouldn't be taking place. You and I both know that years ago, around the cities were these huge walls with high stones, and it was customary to appoint a watchman. They were chosen for their qualifications, and they were placed in towers along the walls of the city. Their job was simply this. They'd be somebody, and they would watch as somebody approached. And as somebody approached, they would say nay or yay, and they would let the gatekeeper know it's okay. You can lift the gate, or you need to close the gate. So they weren't the gatekeeper. They were the watchman. And so they decided who came in and who came out. They decided what would happen that night as they would be that watchman. So the gatekeeper would open and close the gates on the watchman's say-so. Who and what came in the city was determined by someone who had the best vantage point. That's key tonight. That's key tonight. Because God is looking for some men and women tonight who have the best vantage point. I don't mean just in stature, but God's looking for men and women tonight that will pierce the darkness and have the best vantage point in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm. Have a 20/20 spirit realm vision and understand that there's some things that need to be closed. There needs to be some things that are open. But God is looking for some men and some women in the room tonight to be that prophet, to be that gatekeeper, to be that one on the wall that would say, hey, we need to close this down or open this up. We need to take advantage of the Holy Spirit within our lives. You need to find yourself in a high place. You need to find yourself in a high place in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what God's called us to do. His job description was simply to study the terrain during the day and then stare into the darkness at night looking for movement. Just looking for movement. It was a solitary effort involving long hours. It wasn't for everybody. I understand that. It wasn't for the dime a dozen, but it was for somebody. And as beautiful as the night was, and I'm sure there were some beautiful nights as he stood there along the wall and looked into the darkness. I'm sure the stars and the galaxies and the constellations and the Milky Way and all those neat things, it can be a beautiful night. It could be a beautiful night, but that wasn't his calling. That wasn't his position. His calling wasn't to stare into the stars and look at the galaxies and try to find the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, to see if it was tipped, if it was going to rain the next day. That wasn't his calling. His calling was to look, not admire the beauty of the heavens. His calling was to pierce darkness. To pierce darkness. The word watchman means one who stands along the wall and leans in. Leans in. So he's not back there relaxing with a pina colada virgin in his hand, and he's not up there kind of drinking. That's not what we're talking about. It's someone who would take the time to pierce darkness. And I got to tell you, leaders, we need some men and women here tonight that are willing to lean in. They're willing to lean in. Right? This is not a career. This is a calling. This is a calling. In fact, if you've never wept over your calling, enjoy your career. Okay, I'll get back to my notes now. So, you didn't like that one. He was trained to look away from the city, understanding that a quick glance back into the lights of the city would temporarily distort his view of the darkness. You understand that's true. Let me say it again. If you're going to pierce the darkness, you can't be looking at light and then back to darkness. You can't do that. No matter how busy it is behind you in the city, your job is not to look back. Your job is to look forward. No matter what's taking place, the laughter, the crying in behind you, you've got to be piercing the darkness, leaning in, leaning in. You can't afford to look at a light and then look at the darkness, because in that one split second, the enemy slips in and your eyes are distorted because you were looking at light and now you're trying to pierce the darkness. And so we need men and women tonight that understand that. That it's not about the bright lights. It's not about the city lights. It's not about the big. It's not about the fame, the fortune. It's about stepping into the darkness and leaning in and taking charge of the nights. Setting the tone in the nighttime when the enemy wants to operate and take control. We don't want to play that game. The watchman wasn't concerned about all that stuff. The chatter, the within the walls, the noise behind him. He just kept looking. His ears were in tune with the familiar sounds coming out of the night. He quietly listen for any noise that didn't belong. Your house makes noises. Your house makes noises. Don't fix them because you can tell when your kids are up. That squeaky staircase, that central staircase, you know that number 7 stairs still squeaks. Don't have your husband fix it because you can always tell who's coming up the stairs. Hallelujah, right? Because it squeaks. It's number 7 stair. I get that. I understand that. The man on the wall pierced the darkness, but he studied it during the day. He looked at it during the night. He understood the familiar sounds, the night sounds. Those animals that were out nocturnal, they were there night by night and they hunted. He understood those sounds. He wasn't looking for the familiar sound. He was looking for the sound that was out of place. And I got to tell you, church, today there's some sounds that are out of place. There's some things that ought not to be. There's some things in the parade that ought not to be in the parade. There's some things taking place. And we need some men and women again tonight to step up with night vision, with Holy Ghost vision, to take care of business in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ears tuned, eyes tuned, watching the darkness, not caring what's taking place in the lights, but what's going on in the darkness. In chapter 21 in Isaiah, this watchman is there. He is Isaiah. And out of the darkness, he hears footsteps. It's not an enemy, but a friend who asked him how things are going. His reply, I read it to you, is it's a prophetic word for all generations. It's a prophetic word for us tonight, not just for the nation of Israel, as he speaks of things to come in the destiny of mankind. So let's look for a moment at the question that is asked in verse 11. Twice the question is asked, watchman, what of the night? Again, it's asked. It's echoed again. It's repeated again. Watchman, what of the night? Usually when someone says something to me a couple of times, there's usually a concern and an urgency. They want to make sure that Chuck Price heard it. If I didn't hear it the first time, that I heard it the second time. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? I can hear it in his voice. I can hear it. What of the night? What's out there? What are you seeing? What's taking place that I need to know about? There's an urgency there in watchmen. What are the nights? What are the night? The repetition speaks of that urgency. How far has the night advanced? How far are we into darkness? How far have we reached what's taking place in the darkness that we're not seeing? How long before morning? How long before morning? How long before the sun comes up? How much time do we have in darkness? And the question is asked and asked twice. From the question, we learn two things. It's nighttime for the world. It's nighttime for the world. Church, this is nighttime for the world. I think you understand that. Just kind of, you know, read your newspaper or see what's taking place in general. And it's nighttime for the world. There is a moral and spiritual darkness that continues to grow darker. Sin abounds, selfishness is rampant, and greed clamors for one more dollar. That takes place on a day by day. That's the reality. In Isaiah 21, there are three burdens referred to when you read chapter 21. The first burden is Babylon. When you read the first 10 chapters, you read about the burden of Babylon. The burden of Babylon, what's taking place in Babylon. The word Babylon means chaos. Chaos. You know the story of Babylon, the chaos that took place. And so that's there. The second is the burden of Duma or Edom. And that's talked about in verses 11 and 12. You know what that word means? Tension. It means tension. And so you've got the word chaos and you've got the word tension. The third burden is talking about is Arabia in verses 13 to 17. And the word means suspicion. Suspicion. So let's take these three words and apply them to where we live today. If we look around the world today, do these three words, chaos, tension, and suspicion, not describe where we live today? That there is tension. There is tension. If you can't feel that from time to time, you're dead. There are tension. There's tension in politics. There's tension in war. There's tension in world. There's tension that's taking place. And the world understands that. And I trust the church again. How about chaos? Just chaos, a sign of the end times. Absolute chaos in some of the countries and some of the nations. How about suspicion? Suspicion, not just in the world, but in the church. In the church, and I say, Father, here we are again, full circle, things that have come around. The world is living in darkness, and it's growing even darker. The second thing we learn from the question is, we are to be watchmen. You and I are to be watchmen, not Old Testament watchmen, but New Testament watchmen. If you're a child of God, you are a watchman. You are a watchman. You are to watch and pray. You are to watch and pray. That's echoed from the book of Matthew to the book of Revelation. No S. Hallelujah. And so we get that into our hearts and we get that into our lives. We are his voice. We are his ears. We are his eyes. We are his disciples. We are his servants. We are his stewards. We are his ambassadors. We are his light. We are the salt. We are the watchmen to warn of danger because of the things that concern the safety of souls. 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 I tell you, when I'm not winning people to Jesus Christ, I get a little restless. I get a little restless. I get a little restless. I get a little tense. I get a little antsy. I guess you get a little antsy because that's why we're here, to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of in the New Testament from the watchman in the book of Acts. And I just want to read you about Paul the Apostle. You know the gentleman in Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Here's what it talks about with Paul. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would not be helpful to you. But I've taught you publicly from house to house. I like that. I've declared to the Jews, the Greeks, that you must turn and repent and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you just drop down a couple of verses in verses 26 and 27, therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds. Be shepherds, be shepherds, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Hallelujah. So be on your guard. Verse 31. Be on your guard. Remember, remember, remember. For the 3 years I have stopped. I've never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. With tears. That's the cry of the watchman of the book of Acts, the apostle Paul. Our task is unpopular. Our task is unpopular. There are some maybe in the room tonight, you don't want to take it on. You don't want to take it on. It's unpopular. People don't always like it. They don't always want it, but they need to hear the truth. Now, you can dress it up so it's palatable. I'm okay with that. I'm an evangelist. I don't have to do that. I just share. My calling is to stir things up and leave. Right? I'm not your pastor. I only have to love on you for a few hours and I'm gone. Hallelujah, right? We're just playing, but I want you to understand, we need to stir things up. We need to stir things up. When your paycheck starts to dictate what you say, you're in trouble. Let me say it again, because I have the microphone. When your paycheck starts to dictate how you walk and how you live, and if you're in your office before the service contemplating if you should say this or not, and you know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, you better step up that day and say what God has to say. You can do it in a loving way. I understand that. You can do that. You can do it better than I can. You know that. But I want you to understand, we want to be the watchman. We want to be like the Apostle Paul that says, listen, your blood's not on my hands. I did what God asked me to do. I said what God asked me to say. Listen, I said it this morning or last night. When you start to serve God, serve man, you stop serving God. When you start serving certain interest groups in your church, you're running over here and running over there. You're not home one night a week. You're over here and over here trying to do this and trying to do that. The best way you can serve your community is to serve Jesus Christ. If people don't like that, too bad. Too bad. One of the dangers of being in the church for a lot of years is that you start beginning to take ownership. That's a danger. I think I told you the story about who two men were fighting with their pastor, and they're telling him, this is our church. You guys come and go. You're a dime a dozen. You're a dime a dozen. And it was, you know, number 38 in 70 years of their conception. And so, you know, they had a little point there, but he was getting beaten up, and I wanted to jump in there and just say, hey, guys, back off. Right, this is our church. This is our church. This is our church. This is never, you'll be gone in 6 months. This is our church. And the voice of the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear and said, Chuck, they're right. It is their church. I left 2 years ago. Just because you hang a shingle out front that says First Church of the Frozen Chosen doesn't mean that God has any time of day with you. Right? Just because you have a charter or Canada recognizes you don't mean diddly in heaven. Doesn't mean anything in heaven. What means something in heaven was you stand up and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ with a fear of God. A fear of God and not a fear of man. Just to proclaim, to decree, to say what God has put in your heart with a boldness in the Holy Ghost. Lean in! Lean in! Lean in. Lean in while it's day. Lean in because the night is coming when no man is going to work. Lean in. Lean in. And let's get the job done for the power and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are watchmen. We are watchmen. Yes, our task is unpopular about bringing warning to the world of prevailing darkness and judgment that's coming. But we need to say, Lord God, you're going to give me the words and I'm going to speak it forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Something else I see here. Let's look at the reply that's given. Verse 12, the watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. An interesting phrase. An interesting phrase. The morning comes and also the night. It may seem like a rather strange answer. Of course the morning comes. Duh. Of course the morning comes. That's obvious. The morning is going to come. We get that. It's going to come. We get it. But why did the watchman add and also the night? He did full circle. He didn't stop and say, yeah, it's night and morning's coming. And morning's coming. He says, yeah, the morning's coming and also the night and also the evening. So he took it full circle. He painted a bigger picture than maybe others wanted to hear, but it was there for a reason. It may seem strange in its answer. In the light of prophecy, the answer is this. For the believer, the morning is coming. Amen. Thank you. Don't shout me down. For the believer, the morning is coming. Should I use the word Christian? Would you be happy with that one? For the Christian, the morning is coming. And I say, thank God. For the non-Christian, for the unbeliever, the night is also coming. So he paints a picture there prophetically. For the morning is coming, church. And we look forward to that morning. Hallelujah. The morning is coming. But also the night. Let's not forget it. Let's not forget it. The morning is coming for you and I, but for many, 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 the night is coming also. The night is coming. So he paints that picture in just one sentence. He does a way better job than I ever could. And he puts it out there and says, yes, the morning's coming. The morning speaks to us of the coming of Jesus Christ. One day, one day, one day, one day, morning will break and the darkness of night will be pushed aside. He was called the bright and morning star. We'll open the heavens. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, do you still believe in the second coming? Yes. It's been talked about a long time. Are you sure it's going to happen? Yes. I mean, my father preached it and it didn't happen. My grandpa preached it, didn't happen. My great-great-grandpa preached it, didn't happen. Are you sure it's still on play?
Yeah, me too. Hallelujah. Just teasing with you. I believe that. For every one verse in the Bible that talks about the first advent, there are 8 verses that talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me put it very clear to you. For every one verse that talks about Christmas, there are 8 verses that talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ come as a baby? Absolutely yes. Will he come as a king? Absolutely yes. Hallelujah. You got an 8-1 on that. Bless God. Those are pretty good odds that Jesus Christ will come back. The morning will break. The morning will break. The eastern sky will open. Hallelujah. And we will see him as he is, no longer through a dark glass. And we will behold him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this big old Irish Welsh body is going to get off the ground. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be lifted up. And I say, beam me up, Scotty. Hallelujah. And up we go to be with him forever. Forever. No, you don't understand ever. I don't understand ever. There's nothing forever down here, but there is up there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forever. Glory to God. I can almost preach tonight. Glory to God. I love that thought. The second coming of Jesus Christ. We got some who will poo-ha and go, yeah, Pastor Chuck, we've heard that, we've heard that, we've heard that, we've heard it. Yeah, and we're going to continue to hear it. We ought to continue to hear it. Listen, I got more reason to preach the second coming than my dad. He's come and gone. I'm still here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Grandpa's gone. Great-great-grandpa's gone. I'm still here. I'm looking for the morning to break. The morning to break. I'm looking for that, church. When was the last time you went to bed that night and said, maybe in the morning, I'll just be in heaven with Jesus? Just maybe. Church, have we got so busy in ministry, have we got who we're working for? Was that too fast, too quick? Have you got so busy in ministry, you forgot who you're working for? If you're in love with ministry more than you're in love with Jesus, you need help. You need to repent. If you're in love with stuff down here, if you're in love with organization, if you're in love with blah, 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 you can play that game, but I got to tell you, you need to fall in love with Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that is preparing a place for you. Jesus Christ. You're going to live in a subdivision you couldn't afford to live in down here, but you're going to live in it up there. You're going to a banqueting table like you've never seen. Come on, buffet your body. Hallelujah. Right? We're going to sit at that marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're just going to rejoice. We were talking about that earlier, if we're going to have to take shifts because there are going to be so many of us. It's like, okay, 9 o'clock, we'll take the first 10 million. Okay, reset the tables. Okay, 12 o'clock, we'll take the next 20 million. Man, heaven must be some kind of beautiful church. Morning's coming. Morning's coming, and we got to get ready, and we got to get people ready for what's going to take place. And I believe, if I'm wrong, church, I really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I don't know where your theology is, you know, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pan-trib, it'll all pan out in the end, don't worry about it. I couldn't care less. Listen, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back, but the Bible says watch and pray. Matthew 24:25, no man knows the hour, no man knows the day, but you got to be ready because morning's going to break. Morning's going to break. Christian, if we're not thinking about it, don't expect the world to think about it. If we're not talking about it, if we're not preaching on the second coming, then don't expect the world to be talking about it. It's got to come from the lips of the church. Would you risk an amen tonight? I say, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to get into our hearts tonight. Help us to get in our lives tonight. Thank God for the watchman who says the morning's coming. The morning's coming. Let's get her ready. The morning speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. I say, thank God. Morning speaks of 3 things. Number one, first, the certainty of his coming. I think I may have touched on that already. I got a little excited. Right. The certainty of his coming. The morning always follows the night. His coming is as certain as the dawn. It will take place. It will take place. The same one who says, I will build my church, the same one who said, I will pour out my Holy Spirit, is the same one that says, I will come again. I will come again, and I'll take you unto myself. Church, why would he prepare a place called heaven if he didn't expect us to show up? Really, a God who knows everything, why would he build all these years if he didn't expect us to show up? So don't disappoint him. Hallelujah. We want to be a part of that. Secondly, the nearness of his coming. Sometimes the night seems long, doesn't it? And the morning seems like a long way off. But relatively speaking, the morning's always close. Right? The morning's always close. Always close. It's closer than you think, actually. Number 3, the blessed hope of his coming. What a relief, church, when you feel like the night is long, to know that it's almost over. You had a few long nights? think I put my parents through a few of those. Maybe Sister Hannah. She'd pray and call on God until the central staircase squeaked at 4:30 in the morning. And 30 seconds later, I could hear her say, "Bless God, he's home, hallelujah." She'd be out. His little Chucky boy is home, and he's safe, and she knows where he is. The night's coming. The day's coming. Morning's coming. How many times have we had that phrase roll over through our minds, or someone has said to you, you know, what about the morning? What about the morning? It's a long night. But I got to tell you, church, there's a blessed morning coming. There's a blessed morning coming. That's what the Word of God calls it, and I say thank God. The solemn fact is this, that the morning will come, but also the night. But also the night. It may not be pretty. It may rock your theology. It may not be something you like to talk about in a dispensation of grace. We thank God for grace, but I got to tell you straight up, there's a morning and there's a night. There's a morning and there's a night. There's a morning and a night, and we need to get that in our hearts and stand on it and preach it and just believe God for what he wants to do and what he wants to say. Night will come. Night will come. For those who have not prepared for eternity, it's night. There are two extremes on that day, great joy and great sorrow, great hope and great despair. You know, in Scripture, night speaks of calamity. Night speaks of what? Disaster. It speaks of affliction. It speaks of adversity. It speaks of failure. We touched on this earlier. John is at chapter 5, talks about the night coming when no man can work. No man. You're not the exception. Your gifts, your bucks, your bronze, your beauty are not going to help you. The Bible makes it very clear that no man's going to work straight up. In life, the doctor says, if he can just make it through the night. I don't know how many times I've heard that phrase as a pastor for 24 years. See, pastor, you know, go home and get some rest. If they make it through the night, they stand a chance. There's just something about getting through the night. Just something about the morning. Just something clear, something fundamental, something there about the morning. If they can just get it through the night. So you go home and get a couple hours of sleep, but you're restless and you wait for the morning to come. And you can hardly wait to get back there to say, are they there? Are they there? There's something about the morning and the night. The shift worker says, I'm on nights for the next 3 months. I don't think they always say that with a positive attitude. I'm on nights for the next 3 months. I'm on nights for the next 3 weeks, whatever it is. The driver says, I didn't see them due to the darkness. They just jumped out in front of me. Honestly, sir, officer, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. Bam, there they were because of the darkness of the night. Maybe we've got a few stories along those lines. I understand that. I want you to understand, this is my final thought. It's the appeal that is made in verse 12. It's the appeal. The appeal that is made. If you would ask, then ask, and come back yet again. Let's break it down. Let's inquire is what the word means. Let's inquire. If you would ask, then ask, and come back and ask. Right? Listen to the language that resonates from this sentence. Catch the heartbeat of the one who's making the appeal. If you would ask, how many times in Scripture, church, does the Holy Spirit use that kind of language when he speaks? You have not because you asked that. That's probably one of the most used and familiar. But how many times did the Holy Spirit says, would you please ask? Would you just ask? Would you just ask? And sometimes we shy away from that because it looks too big, or we don't feel like we're capable, or we're not worthy. Maybe is the better word. We're not worthy enough. Listen, the knowledge and the teaching of the Word of God is you need to ask. You need to ask. You know what? I got to tell you tonight, some of you aren't asking big enough. You're not asking big enough. It looks impossible to you. That word is not in heaven's dictionary. There's no impossible. So you need to take some things off your impossible list tonight and just move them off to your, it's possible with God. It's possible with God. It's possible. The morning's coming. God's going to show up and show himself strong. I know the night's coming. We've touched on that. But I really believe that God wants us to step in and make the appeal. Make the appeal. The language is very strong. If you would ask, Holy Spirit says, come on, ask, ask. This is a word to the saved and the unsaved. Let me just touch on that. Let me develop that just for a moment. Then ask. All right? Then just ask. Ask. Ask and ask me. Ask and ask me. To the non-Christian, Jesus Christ says, would you ask me into your heart? We don't believe that anymore. To the non-Christian, Jesus says, would you ask me to come in? Would you ask me to come in? To the backslider, he says, would you ask me again? Aren't you glad for that phrase? Listen, Bubba, I wouldn't be here tonight without that phrase. Because I had to ask again. Can I keep going? And I had to ask again. And I had to ask again. And I had to ask again. But every time I asked, he was there for me. He never closed the door. He never locked it. He never turned off the light. He was always there for me. And I asked again. Ask and ask again. To the Christian, he says, ask. And ask again. There's a theology out there that if you ask twice, you lack faith. You don't know my kids. Or you forgot how your kids were when they were 3 and 4 and 5. There's no way our son or daughters ever came to us just one time and said, hey, Dad, we would like, they had the spirit of wear down. They just wear you down. They just wear you down. You know what I'm talking about. And then we get older and we pick up this junk. Father wants you to come back and jump into his lap as big as we are and just say, Dad, I need to ask you something. I need to ask you something. And you know what? Could I ask you again? Because this is really important to me. This is my family. Some of you need to go back to the spirit of your kids. The faith of a child that stands at the top of the stairs and hurdles themselves off because you're at the bottom. And most times you caught them. Didn't slow them down one bit because Dad's there. Dad will catch me. Dad's at the bottom of those 10 stairs. And off they go. And you're like, ah. And sometimes as adults in prayer, we act the same way. And God says, ask me. And ask me again. And ask me again. I'm not hard in hearing, but ask me again. If it's worth asking, it's worth asking again. There's so many references in the Gospels. The little widow and the unjust judge. She got what she wanted, not because the guy was cool, but because she just kept bothering him until she got what she wanted. How much more will our Heavenly Father bless you? I don't hold to the theology that says ask once then walk away. I have that approach that says I want that faith of a 5-year-old that says I'm just going to hang out here because I'm going to get what I want. I know heaven's busy, but I'm going to be here and be here and be here and be here and be here until ask and ask again. Maybe there's some things tonight that you haven't asked, or maybe the things you have asked, but you need to ask again. Maybe you're here even tonight and you're not where you should be spiritually. You need to ask and ask again because Papa God has something very deep and special for you tonight. You need to step into what God has for your lives. Say, Chuck, I'm too old, I'm too cool, I'm too educated, I'm too... That's foolishness. The Word of God makes it very clear that we can ask and ask again. And I'm going for it. And I say, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A word to the watchman. Stay focused. Stay focused. Here's the deal, church. We all need to choose between night and day. Don't let this fool you. I just closed it. Doesn't mean a thing. Okay, so. We all need to make a choice between night and day. We all need to make a choice between ask and ask again. I'm looking for some leaders tonight that are willing to put your neck out. I'm looking for some men and women tonight that will be watchmen on the walls. And not get hung up with all the chatter and the chirping in the church foyer. And the he said, she said, and did you see what that woman was wearing? Does she think she's 12 and she's 59 years old? What's up with that one? Look at that guy. He's got alligator shoes on. Think it's his birthday or what? You and I will never be what God wants us to be, listening to the chatter behind us. it'll destroy you. Oh, it'll destroy you. I wonder how many good men and women we've lost over the years that are casualties to what's behind. I wonder how many good men and women we lost because they just lost focus in the darkness. Or they glanced around too many times in the light and the enemy snuck in because their eyes were distorted. I wonder. I don't have the answer. I just don't want to be one of them. I forget how many years ago it was. Trish and I were up in White Lake. Must have been the 80s when we were pastoring up there in Armfriar. We had some friends that owned a lodge at the other end of the lake, Pickerel Lodge, Pickerel Lake up there. And we decided to go see them. The kids were little, single-digit dudes. And we headed off in our little bow rider, 15-foot, headed down the lake. And we had a terrific time. I'd been on the lake a couple of times before, and we were staying at someone's cottage. They were very kind to let us go there. I still go back there and spend some time. We had a great time, and the day slipped away. I wasn't paying attention. We were having such a good time with these folks, and the kids were having a blast. They had a whole retreat center, a whole lodge, and all the stuff, and ice cream. Okay, I had ice cream. The kids had the whole lodge and the whole retreat. They were having a blast. Matthew, Sarah, Rebecca, they were having a great time. And I happened to glance out the window and realized it was pitch black. And this fear gripped my heart because I didn't know the lake that well. And I knew we were miles away from the cabin that we were staying at. So we excused ourselves. We got in the boat. The dock area was lit. It didn't seem that bad. Put the life jackets on the little dudettes and the dude, and we headed down the lake. And I knew I had to make a right. I knew. I just wasn't sure how far out I had to go, and I made the wrong decision. I made the first right and not the second right. I ended up in a weedy, swampy, kind of good bass fishing area. But it was late, and I wasn't about to fish. The motor shut down because the weeds wrapped around the prop. Had our little lights on the front and the back, and I had to lean over and bring the motor up on the tilt and was leaning over, and I remember Trish hanging onto my belt like that was going to stop me from going over, and maybe one other kid hanging on, and I was trying to get the weeds off the prop so we could go again. I think maybe one of the little girls was crying. I'm pretty sure. I know her name. You know that one? She crying. And I feel miserable inside because I let the day slip by and now it was night. And I'd made a serious mistake as a young father. And everything I loved and held dear was in that 15-foot bow rider. Everything I loved was in the boat. Got the weeds off, got the motor down, and inside I was praying, I'm praying, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm speaking English, I'm speaking whatever, and I'm like, Lord, you've got to help me, you've got to help me, and I, on the outside, I'm like, don't worry, we'll get out of here, I can handle this, no problem, we're good. I was like, okay, God, please, please, please. Off we went, it was quiet. Finally, I got to the shoreline that I felt I should go down, and I traveled the actual miles down that shoreline, just using the tree line and the moon, the glittering from the darkness to the tree line. It just crawled. You know what the brightest thing I did that night before we left? That was a key there. I left the outside light on at the cabin. That was the brightest thing I had done so far that day. My eyes were locked on that shoreline. My eyes were piercing the darkness. Oh, I was leaning in. I think everybody else was leaning in too. And I looked for that one light in the darkness that could help my family get home safe. I offer you tonight again, Pastor, leader, I offer you again tonight the one light in the darkness that will get us home safe. His name is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The morning is coming, but also the night. What of the night, watchman? What of the night watchman? What of the night? What of the night watchman? So, Father, would you speak to our hearts then in Jesus' name? Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus, sir, would you really speak to our hearts tonight? That we don't get lost in the church world. We don't get lost in the religious world. But somebody tonight would pierce the darkness. Somebody would put the trumpet to their lips. Somebody would yell to the gatekeeper, "Shut her down, Charlie." Some would say, "Open her up, Charlie." But somebody wouldn't be distracted by the night air. Somebody wouldn't be distracted by the lights. Somebody wouldn't be distracted by the behind chatter. But we stay focused. We stay focused. We stay focused. What of the night, watchman? How far are we into this? When's morning coming? When is daybreak? What of the night, watchman? What of the night? Speak to our hearts, Father. Challenge us, stretch us. Keep us where we need to be. Keep us on the walls, looking, piercing, leaning. I speak against the distractions tonight that will ruin us, that will ruin us, that will take us down paths we ought not to be on. We release that tonight in Jesus' name. Watchmen, watchmen, New Testament watchmen, what of the night? What of the night? I was never so glad to get back to that cottage that night and take those little bodies, those little humans, and take them and lift them onto the shoreline on the dock and then lock eyes with my wife and go, "Phew, man," because I knew I was in trouble if it didn't work well. But church, we need to get some more folks to the dock. We need to get some more folks to dry ground. Need to get some folks. You are the light of the world because the light of the world is in you. But we need some men and women tonight to rise up and leave here tomorrow and lean in. I know that puts your neck out there, sir. I get that. Ma'am, I know you're sticking your neck out and there's somebody that would like to chop it off. But I'd rather have you pierce in darkness than worried about what's coming behind you. That's the kind of leaders I think we need in these last days. That will make a difference in this generation. Would you stand with me? I just want to open up these altars tonight. You know me, I'm an altar guy. I just think the altar has an opportunity to alter us. I think we need to respond to the word as we have every service and just come and say, "Lord God, I need. Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Listen, you're all watchmen. Did you hear me tonight? You're all watchmen. Right, with position, without position. Sometimes you're better off without title. Did you hear me? Sometimes you're better off without title. Straight up. We've been around enough years to understand that. And I'm just looking for some watchmen tonight. They're willing to stick their neck out for this generation. They're just willing to stick their neck out and pierce the darkness and not get lost in all the other stuff, but just pierce darkness. Are there any folks like that here tonight? There's some men and women that just come and stand with me for a couple minutes and say, "Chucky boy, let's get this done. Because the night's here. The day's coming. But the night's coming again." It's day or night, church. It's night or day. It's night or day. So Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Come on. We got some early adopters. We got some middle adopters. We're going to take some time. Relax. You're at home tonight. We want to pray with some folks tonight. We want to believe God. Just want to take some time. Just say, "Father, here I am. Here I am." Would you give him your night tonight? Whatever situation you're facing, whatever sickness, whatever health issue, whatever the doctor has said is nighttime in your life, would you just stand here tonight and just give it to him and say, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." Say, "Father, how long is the night? I feel like I've been a night for weeks. I feel like it's been nighttime for months. I feel like ministry has been night after night after night after night after night. And I pray today, Father, the day is coming. The day is coming. The morning is coming. We declare that tonight in Jesus' name. We speak victory. We heard that earlier tonight. We speak victory. We create it. We speak it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, watchman, stick your neck out tonight. Pierce the darkness. Pierce the darkness. Pierce the darkness in Jesus' name. 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 Shidaradia bakora bababa shikaradia bababababandai. Tidiadaradia kura bababababa shikababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab
Raise us up, 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 raise us up. Hallelujah. We pray for the province of Quebec tonight. We lay hold of that province tonight in Jesus' name. That you'd raise these lives up as watchmen, watchmen over the province, watchmen over the province in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. This is our time. This is our time. This is our time. It's night, but morning is coming.